What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, November 8th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki Doki, and tickled to be here and listening to you troll Kevin right before the show starts.
It's a little thing. Look at him over there. So happy. Look at him. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Shut your eyes, everybody. See, he's laughing. He's enjoying it over there.
He's kind of having a good time.
Look, now he's smiling.
He's so happy.
Now that Kev Dog's back.
Aww.
Kevin's always like a little cat, you know what I mean? And he gets here. Nick knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kevin's like a cat, and he comes to a new home, and he hides under the dresser. And you have to reach under the dresser and grab him by the scuff of his neck and pull him out.
I always thought of him more like Salacious Crumb, like hiding behind Jabba the Hutt's tail and then peeking out.
Am I Jabba? I'd be Jabba in this situation.
Scenario, I think if any of us is Jabba, I'm Jabba.
No, you can't take... You'd be... Who's,
well, you're more important.
Who's somebody who pops into Jabba's palace but doesn't like hang out all the time?
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett? All right. I need art of me as Jabba the Hutt, Kevin as Salacious Crumb, Jared as Boba Fett, Nick as...
I would like to be Princess Leia.
Princess Leia. All right, good. Done. Nailed it.
I have this extra page.
Thank you. Can you please hand these extra page to Jared Petty, the printer?
I do want to say that once Kevin breaks in, he is like the cat that starts to love you, but then also wants to show you the butthole.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. If you...
Well, I mean, who doesn't really want to do that? Honestly.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we come to you with the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindaFunny.com/YoureWrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Hey, why don't you subscribe and listening on podcast services around the globe.
I love that you jumped on "No, I'm Jabba." Like, that made me so happy.
Jabba's the in charge around
there.
He
is. Well, I was going for the corpulence.
I understand that. Yeah. And I get that. I understand.
But I get Jabba is
in charge. Do you have a Team Fat shirt? That seems like...
I don't have one.
That's upsetting.
You don't sell them in the store anymore.
That sounds like us. That sounds like something we would do.
Yeah. How am I supposed to buy one?
I don't know. Maybe you should have supported us, you know, the years and years and years
they were available. I did support you for years and years and years.
Years and years they were up there.
I have supported your Patreon since you had a Patreon.
Fuck, yeah. But goddamn, that's what? You give me 50 cents a month, and I'm saying right now.
I think my current level of support is like 10 and 2.
Man, that's nice.
I think that's it. It's not great, but it could be higher. It could be higher.
Seems way higher than it needs to be, says Kevin.
Well, yeah, I keep thinking that if I just keep supporting you at that, it'll eventually trickle up economics and I'll get a raise. Like, that's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, I see where your heads are at.
That's where
your head's at. Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I don't understand how money works, but that's my guess.
Trust me, we don't either. We do not either.
But I do love you. Like, you just owned Jabba. You're like, no, I am the vile gangster. Jabba
in this thing, I mean, like, if we're in the studio,
you're in charge. Like, you're the boss. You are absolutely Jabba.
In the fan art as well, we need Cool Greg to be the dancing green lady.
Oh, okay, that works.
Yeah.
I forget her name.
I'm starting to stretch
is
people
Nick,
I know.
Is Nick that guy that keeps the Rancor?
Nick said he's
Princess Leia. Oh, yeah, Princess Leia. So is Tim the guy that keeps the Rancor?
Oh, no. All right, scratch that. Tim is the Rancor, and Cool Greg's the Rancor Keeper.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm giving you a lot of art to submit, everybody. Of course, I want to see it all. Tweet at me at GameOverGreggy. Put it on the subreddit, but make sure tomorrow... KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Send me your links to what this art's going to look
this
like.
This sounds amazing.
There's a lot of artists out there. A lot of cool people.
No, incredible cool artists. People forever. Yeah. It's just sending amazing stuff over.
Maybe Anthony Carboni's watching and we'll actually talk to George Lucas himself about filming this on the set of Skywalker Ranch. I don't understand Star Wars.
What is your all-time favorite piece of Greg Miller fan art?
Like I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. There's too much great shit. There's hundreds of things that stand out. I mean, Nick walked in the fucking shirtless Spider-Man. Now, granted, I took the photo of that shirtless Spider-Man. But the shirtless Spider-Man painting, you know what I mean? Yeah. We just put up a cool shirtless Spider-Man movie poster somebody put out. Way back in the day, there was a Ghostbusters 2 GameScoop one that I loved that everybody put in. Podcast Beyond had a bunch of good shit.
Yeah, you had a lot of great stuff there.
No, the list just goes on and on and on.
I know. You have incredible fan art. You have incredible fans.
Yeah.
We have incredible fans. The Kinda Funny best friends.
We do. Housekeeping for you. Guess what, everybody? XO18, Xbox's big show, is this Saturday. We at Kinda Funny Games will be streaming our reactions to that. You can tune in to twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames at 12:45 p.m. Pacific time. We will be doing a 15-minute pre-show leading into the Xbox, not conference, but the Xbox All Access Live thing that they're going to have announcements and stuff on. And we're excited to announce What's Good Games. They'll be doing it with us.
Woo!
All three.
Oh, that's exciting.
All three of the lovely ladies hanging out with me and Tim here.
Those lovely ladies are spectacular. Big Agreed. Fan of all of them.
Agreed. Good I agree people. With them. Today we're brought to you by Quip and Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
A huge one from last night that broke. I was sitting there debriefing my wife, hanging out. That sounds dirty. We were just talking about the day.
I mean, are we brought to you by MeUndies today?
No, no. Today's Quip and Brooklinen. I mean, the Brooklinen kind of moves into it.
That does, that's true. Nothing becomes
from Anyways, Lucy but James walked in and was just like, hey, did you see this? And we're like, what? She's like, no, the Final Fantasy 15 DLC has been canceled, three or four of them. And then also the director, Tabata-san, is leaving Square Enix. This is from Eddie at GameSpot. And I'm going to read pretty much the entire article, so please go give Eddie from GameSpot a click.
Holy armor, Project Batman. Here we go.
In an unexpected announcement today, Square Enix announced the cancellation of three of four planned Final Fantasy 15 episode expansion packs and also confirmed that the game director Tabata-san has left the company. Tabata's last day at Square Enix was October 31st, Halloween. Bummer. The canceled Final Fantasy DLC episodes include, here we go, Arania, Luna Freya, and Noctis. I know Noctis. And I guess I know Luna, too. The fourth one, Arden, remains in development and is scheduled to launch in March 2019. The expansion packs were being developed by Luminous, the new Square Enix internal studio. However, that team will now focus on making a new AAA game, though it hasn't been announced yet. In an earnings report, Square Enix announced a major change to Luminous that resulted in an extraordinary loss accounting to $33 million, amounting to $33 million is that extraordinary loss. Until now, it wasn't known what the loss was related to, but now it looks like it's connected to the DLC cancellation. In announcing his resignation, Tabata said, I honestly believe the reason we were able to get this far is because of all you loyal fans. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. As for what he'll do next, Tabata says he's starting his own company. I have a project that I truly wish to solidify as my next challenge after Final Fantasy XV. For that reason, I've decided to leave my current position and start my own business in order to achieve my goal, he said. From this day on, I will cheer on and support Square Enix and Luminous Productions together with all you fans. I would like to thank everyone who continues to support Final Fantasy XV and those who have supported myself personally, Tabata added. Also during the announcement event, Square Enix announced that Final Fantasy XV's Comrades multiplayer will now be released as a standalone game, meaning you don't need the base game to play it. There will be a further 10 new bosses, as well as more costumes and weapons in the standalone game. Final Fantasy XV Multiplayer Comrades, as it's called, will launch on December 13th. Those who already bought the Comrades expansion will get the new standalone edition for free. Also during the presentation, Square Enix announced a new cross-promotion with Final Fantasy XIV Online. An event called Adventurer from Another World will be available inside Final Fantasy XV on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC starting on December 12th. Another announced is a short-form anime called Final Fantasy XV Episode Prologue is on the way. A teaser will be released on December 15th, with a second one coming up on January 10th.
Ladies and gentlemen, Square Enix Jesus has left the building. Tabata, holy crap. Are you a Square Enix guy? I mean, you play? No? Okay.
I know Square Enix, and because we worked with Final Fantasy XV for the launch event, I know Tabata, and because I've had at least one conversation with Alexa Ray Correa, I'm well aware of Tabata-san.
Yeah, he is Square Enix Jesus. Yeah. He is the guy that came in and turned things around, at least from the public-facing side. Sure. He fixed Final Fantasy XIV. He made Final Fantasy XV the fun and successful game it apparently was. And he's leaving at exactly the right time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he had to leave. I don't think he was necessarily forced out. I think he's a successful developer that has two AAA Japanese game successes in the last 10 years, which that's an incredibly short list of human beings. And he could probably know, so he can go out right now and find the funding to make that game he's always wanted to make.
You're going
to
sit there, Jared Petty, with a straight face and tell me, he's just leaving. You don't think there was like shenanigans? They're canceling three of the DLCs.
I'm sure there were shenanigans.
Okay.
Because any large AAA video game company, when somebody's departing, there's almost certainly going to be shenanigans that led up. There's going to be frustrations.
Sure.
And Square Enix is Square Enix, and they do things their way. But no, I don't think this is a situation where he's necessarily forced out. I don't think he killed the golden goose.
Okay.
I think Tabata looked and said, well, other developers are stepping out in Japan right now and making their own games on their names. Mm. And I have friends right now that can fund that game I've always wanted to make. Mm. Why not go the route? You know, Yuji Horii is always working with Square Enix, but he's still Armor Project. He's his own thing. You know, and then of course you have Inafune stepping out, and you have Ritual of the Night coming out and all the rest of these. I think that he just looked and he went, hey, Koji Igarashi did it. We've got Death Stranding coming.
Yeah.
Why don't I go make my game?
Interesting. I mean, and I know nothing from this situation. Obviously, Japanese game development is a completely another world that we're not clued into for the most part. From the way this all came out, I would think it was he was, you think about Final Fantasy getting delayed, 15 getting delayed, right? I would imagine that these DLCs weren't off track, but definitely weren't on their right timetables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were like, there's got to have been months and months and months, if not years and years and years of get on track, hit the milestone. And then finally, just enough of like, all right, you know what? Complete this one, or this team, complete this one. We're canceling the rest and we just can't do this anymore.
I mean, when's the last time a Square Enix AAA RPG was delivered on time and as expected?
Oh, I mean, most video games are delayed.
You're right. I'm not saying there weren't lots of shenanigans. I'm sure there was stuff going on under the surface of some kind or another, and somebody was mad, and there was a board meeting, and who knows? I wasn't in there. But I really do think that the old way of game development in Japan, particularly for scenario designers and project leads, was to stay with their companies and do their thing. And I think that over the last few years, these guys have realized they can go out there and do it on their own and get the funding. I really do think that really after, I used the phrase killing the golden goose earlier. Once Konami was willing to part ways with
Kojima,
I think the floodgates opened for stuff like this, Greg.
Okay.
I really do.
As you'd expect, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, aflame with questions about this. I'm going to kick it to Lemonade Farmer. Lemonade Farmer writes in and says, I can't contain my anger with Square Enix over the decisions to cancel Final Fantasy XV's DLCs. Unlike a lot of people, I actually quite enjoyed Final Fantasy XV, even when it first came out. Later, the episode Ignis DLC really got me more invested in the world, and Royal Edition provided a lot of good improvements. I was really hyped going into this announcement, and what a fucking disappointment. Square Enix just decided to cancel three DLCs and basically drove out one of their most talented directors, Tabata. This decision just baffles me. If it's a monetary concern, I would kindly suggest maybe plan out Tomb Raider's marketing campaign better instead of canceling DLCs to save money. If it's because they want the new Luminous Studio to focus on a new AAA project, driving Tabata out and canceling Final Fantasy XV's DLC certainly does not help. Tabata was so passionate about Final Fantasy XV and truly cared about the fans. He came in to handle the development disaster that is Final Fantasy XV and promised to continue to make it better, but Square Enix just decided no and forced the guy out. Now, the new studio doesn't have Tabata, and going by Square Enix's track record, I expect no less of a development disaster.
Possibly. Again, I'm not convinced he was forced out.
Yeah.
He might have been. I can't imagine why they would want to go to that step. My guess is it's more of an arrangement where there were some frustrations. He realized he had creative freedom. He's stepping away. He's going to go make something, and he may very well work with them again in the future, but as an outside contractor brought in to run projects. And I could be completely wrong about all
of course,
that.
We're just giving you possible realities, right?
Yeah.
My reality is much grimmer. Mm-hmm. Where I think it was, and this is, again, a possible reality. It's just what I looking at how this it was handled and what all happened, I think it was all right, we're done. We've given all the chances we're willing to give you. Cancel these three. You guys finish this. Get on a AAA game. We're going to part ways with you. Which to me is literally Square Enix like ringing the bell of like, we're not going to put up with anybody's shit. Mm-hmm. Which then I think resonates throughout their portfolio of Crystal Dynamics and Avengers. And where is that game? Nobody knows. Square Enix Montreal. Square Enix Montreal hasn't done anything since the Go games. What the fuck's going on up there? Eidos Montreal with the Deus Ex stuff. And then this Tomb Raider game that didn't move the needle. Like, if I was in any of those studios, it'd be like, holy shit, what the fuck's going on? Mm-hmm. If they're like to the point, but again, I'd be taking the grim.
That's generally speaking not good for your company. When people in a large AAA studio, especially a multinational large publisher like this,
yeah.
When people are going, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's the worst possible scenario.
100%. I'm not saying this is like, oh, this is lighting a fire under ass. This is like, oh shit, they killed the golden goose. They're,
yeah.
The nothing is sacred. And if that's the case, you got to look at your own like output and what you've done.
You take
recently.
Somebody that made, I mean, Final Fantasy 15 wasn't finished. Of course it wasn't. But the first 2/3 of that game were still one of the best RPGs I've played in years.
Yeah.
And I gave it a lot of a pass because he got a project out the door that seemed like it was just never going to happen. And lo and behold, it was ridiculously fun and heartful and good. And then he took 14, which was just an unmitigated nightmare, and turned it into something really special. I arguably the best MMO that's not called Eve. And I think that it's just unfathomable to me that a company like Square, that whose culture is not notoriously toxic, the way that we think about something like Konami, for example, from what we see leaked out, would just come out and kick him out the door, even if some DLC didn't work out. That seems odd to me.
Okay. Christian Nava writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, why would Square Enix organize and promote a, quote, special Final Fantasy 15 presentation just to give bad news? That's the thing about this. This was a presentation last night, a live stream that was put out in Japan. I don't understand why Square Enix would celebrate the 2-year anniversary of Final Fantasy 15 by revealing that almost all the DLC of the game has been canceled and that the game director, Tabata, has left the company. Was this a last-minute change? Did something go south? In any case, what do you guys think will happen with Final Fantasy franchise next? Do they go back to their roots and shoot for something more like Octopath Traveler for the next installment this year? So let's go from the top.
All right.
Why go out of your way and promote this thing, a special Final Fantasy presentation? I think it's because it's the best way to deliver this information. No?
I think maybe they had something planned anyway, and his departure was going to be around the same time. I think maybe he just came to them in August or September and said, by the way, I'm leaving.
Sure.
And this was about when it worked out.
I feel like, I know this is, it sounds crazy, but this is how you want to deliver that information, right? Where you have the fans of the game, the people who care the most, tuned in and looking. Don't get me wrong. Usually you think of a Nintendo Direct, yesterday's Assassin's Creed Odyssey video from the community directors. Mm-hmm. Like, we think of these as, hey, here's a bunch of cool new shit and da-da-da. And granted, that's what 99.9% of them are used for. You can use them to deliver bad news as well. And again, why not speak directly to it? Would you rather this have been a press release that leaked out, or not even leaked out, limped out on a random Tuesday or Friday afternoon?
I think that's one possibility. Another is that it came together quickly. Another is that you're right and he was forced out. Another is that he quit suddenly or got an offer. Somebody finally recently said, yes, we have the $100 million to make your game. You want to make Mr. Tabata? Yeah, yeah. Again, he's like, okay, I'm out. I think that we're going to get a lot of signals in the next few months to let us know what really, you know, if they come out.
Oh, yeah. If Square like goes my way and starts butt cracking heads, like, you're going to know what's happening.
But if Square comes along in 6 months and says, by the way, Tabata-san is consulting on Octopath 2.
Sure.
Oh, Jesus. You know, then suddenly you have a very different situation.
Yeah. So it's one of those we don't know. But I do think that you can use these presentations to deliver bad news. And not only that, it's almost like, don't get me wrong, all the headlines clearly are, all this DLC, 75% of the DLC is canceled, Tabata left, right? But as you get into the GameSpot thing, right, last three graphs at least here are all like things that are still happening and that are good news and are standalone games, and this is happening and an event's happening here. Yeah. Like, it is like, let's give you a whole bunch of shit rather than give you all this good news in quotes today and then pull the rug out from under you 2 days later. Yeah. Or just have one that's just bad news. Here's this thing. This is the update on Final Fantasy 15, and yeah, it's not all great news, but we're trying to.
We're going
to
talk about it anyway because it's going to get talked about.
Charles Jacobson writes into kindoffunny.com. KF/KFGD and says, there's another one over here. It's a long one. Stick with me. I'll start off by saying I stopped supporting Square Enix years ago, as I think they show a lack of respect for both their supporters as well as employees, along with their out of touch attitude. Tabata left Square. Much can be said about him, but he eventually became Square's please fix our projects guy, and even he was granted a studio within Square. He left to work on a new project he wanted to challenge himself with after 15. He left with a positive message toward fans and Square, but let's be honest. We all know he realized he was in a similar situation to Kojima, Iga, etc. He was not going to get to work on anything new, creatively satisfying, but instead he was tasked to fix other people's projects. I know Kinda Funny is fond of Square. I know they helped you out early on. I know Jen used to work for them, etc. However, I trust you enough to not let those things cloud your judgment. So I just want to ask, why are you so fond of Square? People are excited for the Avengers project, but I question, why? Have they shown they'd make a good ensemble cast game with superpowers involved, with a lot of character development? Not really. Final Fantasy XV launched in 2016. They spent 2 years messing about trying to fix it, yet it's still a mess of older Final Fantasies paced together in terms of a narrative. Deus Ex ran into it needs to be multiple games, yet it seemed the second game isn't coming anytime soon. Deus Ex ran into it needs more. They already put out the second game. But I don't know what you're talking about there. But it wasn't well received, but I'm fine. Tomb Raider probably is dead for the time being, given the reception, which seems more to do with Square again sending it out to die and not giving the developers an awful lot of time to make it. The list goes on and on. Capcom gets a lot of critiques. Konami gets a lot of hate for lazy ports. Square mostly keeps getting just, quote, oh, silly Square being Square. I just really don't get it. I'm sorry for the very long writing, and I'm not trying to tell anyone how to feel about Square. I just want to understand why they seem to get a pass for being a bad company.
I have thoughts on this, Charles.
Lay it on me.
Yeah, just a few. First, we're mean to Konami because, one, the leaks around the company seem to indicate a chronically toxic culture that's existed for a long time. Also, Konami doesn't really make video games. And also, again, Konami fired arguably the greatest video game maker of his generation in a very public and not particularly tactful way.
Mm-hmm.
Capcom went through a dark time, but has since engaged in quite a renaissance. And I think that right now people are pretty high on Capcom. Square is a mixed bag, but the reason he asks, why do we like Square? Because this year Square released two of the best video games I played, Octopath Traveler and Dragon Quest XI.
Yeah.
They made two spectacular, deep, wonderful RPGs that I love just this year. Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out next year. Do I particularly care? Yes, I do. I'm not a Kingdom Hearts guy, but I'm very interested in Kingdom Hearts 3. And I think it's neat that it's getting made, and it looks like a really rad video game. They also have a lot of fumbles. They really do. I mean, I haven't played the new World Ends With You, but I've heard that they didn't quite capture that the way that they could have. I don't want to be unfair to that. I'm only repeating secondhand information, so that could
that's what
be
I've heard
inaccurate.
Too.
That's what I've heard. Obviously, we have this situation where Mr. Tabata is leaving, but I don't think Square is always a grease fire. I think criticisms of Tomb Raider are valid. I have not been big on the new Tomb Raider games, any of them.
Yeah.
They're interesting games that I don't want to play. But they make video games consistently that are of a high degree of polish and quality. And I think that gets them way more mileage than Konami.
So I have a bunch of stuff in here, Charles. And I thank you for writing and being respectful and asking a nuanced question. You say, why? I know Kinda Funny is fond of Square. Why are you so fond of Square? Fond's an interesting word. Are we fond of Square? Tim, of course, loves Final Fantasy. Tim loves Kingdom Hearts. I think those are the big Square things that get a lot of talk and praise, right? If you were going to talk to me and rank the developers / publishers Greg Miller cares about, with all due respect to Square, they wouldn't be high on the list.
They probably would be for me.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing. Like, it's a juggling thing. But I don't think to jump to your final question, you know what I mean? Oh, it's just silly Square being silly Square, and why you don't get that. That seems to be what the takeaway is from it. I think it's because Square is it's a very big company, obviously, but it's also very niche, where it is like, yeah, Tim is a Final Fantasy Kingdom Hearts fan, which means he's been flogged for years by these games being delayed and eventually coming, and Goofy's voice actor saying it'll be out in 2015 or like. The joke is there as somebody who doesn't care about those games of like, oh my God, it's just Square constantly delaying. We fucking got hired by Square to host the Final Fantasy XV event to announce the release date, which we did, and then they delayed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the most Square Enix thing.
It is. Oh, Square is the world's weirdest AAA publisher. And with that should come some criticism. And Charles, I would say, maybe I'm being unfair here, but go back and watch coverage of us watching Square Enix.
Oh, sure.
Press conferences.
Oh, sure. The E3 press conferences?
Yeah, I mean,
geez, this year.
It's painful sometimes.
But I mean, I guess you bring up a good point, Jared, right? Of like, they just haven't they haven't erred in the side of Konami, right? Yeah. Where it is like, fuck Kojima, a game that every, a developer everybody seems to love, a franchise everybody loves, a developer that I clearly love and a game series I clearly love, right? That's a different thing. Capcom was a Capcom gets a lot of critiques. I think Capcom actually had been quiet for the most part. And I'm talking about Kind of Funny coverage, mm-hmm. where it was for a long time, I kind of forgot Capcom existed. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, well, Monster Hunter and Resident Evil. All right, they're doing great there. But then you get into like Square, right? Why they'd get a pass or don't get a pass or don't get run in. I think it's just that they still make shit we care about and do it in interesting ways, in weird ways. You got Kingdom Hearts and you got Final Fantasy. All right, those are Tim's jams. There's jokes all about it. You got Life is Strange being published by them, right? Yes. I love Life is Strange, so if I'm talking about Square, I'm talking about that. Tomb Raider. I loved the first two rebooted Tomb Raiders. This new one, I had weird things with day one patches and shit, and I haven't gone back to really try it out on, right? But the critique there is, of course, yeah, they send it out to die. They always pick bad marketing beats for it. But that doesn't speak to the quality of the game. Octopath Traveler, one of my games of the year in terms of like, I love that game and I can't wait to keep playing it. Dragon Quest XI, you loved, right? Yeah. Another thing for Square, especially when you want to talk about comparing them to Konami, right? Talk about releasing IO, right? We're no IO Interactive is no longer going to be a part of Square.
Yeah.
They could have fucking fought bitterly for years over the Hitman IP. And what did they do instead? Nope, they put out a statement. IO gets Hitman. Hitman without IO wouldn't be Hitman. We're giving that to them. And I'm granted, I'm sure there's backrooms and money and all this shit, and maybe there's a deal on the back end for like the next Hitman game.
Yeah.
Whatever. They still made it happen and had a good thing, right?
And now we can all kill Sean Bean because of it.
Exactly. Thank God. I've been waiting forever. Charles, you say, people are excited for the Avengers project, but I question why. And you bring up, have they shown they'd make a good ensemble cast game with superpowers involved and a lot of character development? Not really. We're excited about the Avengers project in the same way I was excited about Spider-Man as a project, right? Holy shit, Insomniac Games is an incredibly talented developer. They made Sunset Overdrive, not enough people played it. People think they're just Ratchet and Clank. Resistance didn't get the love it deserved. They're finally getting an IP that people are going to care about, period. And like, and you see the Spider-Man sales and what they were able to accomplish with it, let alone the fact that you have Marvel Games and Bill Roseman and Mike Jones there sitting there like, this is what Marvel Games are, we're going to do it. Avengers is a similar thing. Granted, we know shit about it, which is terrifying. Yeah. I feel like we should know more about it. Maybe there is trouble. But it is, hey, guess what? Crystal Dynamics made two fucking awesome Tomb Raider games. Period. End of statement. And like, don't even worry about Shadow, because obviously that was the collaboration. Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider were fucking phenomenal games. Period. Underplayed, underappreciated. And that sucks. So yeah, I am excited that they are now being given fucking Avengers, a thing that means so much to everyone now, and they're getting the developers being put in there, and Marvel's working with it. Maybe that won't work out. I don't have a reason to believe that based on what Marvel Games is always pitching and how they nailed it with Spider-Man and how Insomniac nailed that. Like, you know, we've had enough people like Rich Briggs come on from Crystal to talk about what Crystal is and what games they make and all stuff. Like, that is exciting. Yeah. So these are the questions I think that are running back to you. Your final point here is, I just want to understand why they seem to get a pass on being a bad company, in quotes. Bad company, obviously, subjective on what you think a bad company is, right?
Yeah.
Square Enix has always been a weird company. Damn. Always been a weird company, as long as I've ever fucking known them.
And they went through a long period where I think they were getting burned. When it was Final Fantasy 13, when it was the bad 14, when it was, you know, 7, 8, 9 different spin-offs and iterations of Final Fantasy on handhelds, all the DS games, many of which weren't good. I mean, and outside of Crisis Core, all the bad PSP games.
Right.
On top of that, you had them murdering the Mana franchise, you know, something that is just dead now, this beautiful. But that all happened several years ago, and I really do feel like they have tried to make good games for the last few years and succeeded mostly.
And that's the thing, is like, they get the silly Square being silly Square, as you say, Charles, because they are silly and they are weird, and yes, I never fucking believe a release date from them, right? You never know what's gonna happen, but they're putting out stuff here that we care about. And maybe I don't care about all these games, and I'm not saying that justifies it, but I'm saying I don't look at them and I say you are a bad company. I say you're a weird company. You make a lot of choices I wouldn't make. I can't believe you're putting Shadow Tomb Raider out like right now and trying to fight the, you know, But I don't sit there and go, man, what a bad company. And like, maybe behind the scenes, we don't know what this Tabata thing was. We don't know what's happening.
I mean, Japanese business, like American business, can be cutthroat and petty and vicious, and we just never know. But I don't want to sit here and plant seeds to things. I've never been inside a Square boardroom.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was backstabbing and inner office politics, or if this was a talented guy seizing his moment.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on it. It will be interesting if, yeah, if Square is cracking the whip and going to go out there and change things up.
Can I say that I like the idea of Tabata leaving Square and making his own freaking game with no restrictions?
You cannot. Okay. Kevin, delete that from the record.
I think that that's like the best possible outcome here as a guy who wants to play video games.
Sure.
5 years from now, I'm going to be playing a Tabata-authored video game that he didn't have to wade through a AAA company to make. I'm kind of excited about that.
Okay.
Or AAA publisher.
Jared, I got two Red Dead stories for you. Excited?
My friend, I am indeed.
No, we're not.
I think you could say that my beard level is 10 with excitement.
Whoa, you've been using that hair tonic.
Beard level.
Number two on the report, the Red Dead Redemption 2 online beta has some news. This is from Joe Scribbles.
Joey Scribbs, made up
name at IGN, who has created a fake Twitter account and is talking mad shit about Pool Panic, about me. He cut a video against me. This fucking kid they hired to say he's Joe Scribbles.
Are you
Joe Scribbles, show me your American birth certificate and then I'll believe it's your name.
Are you being cruel to Kinda Funny's favorite British citizen?
Oh, what the fuck?
Is he British?
What,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yes, Joe Scribbles, a made-up name who changes his face every time. Kinda Funny's favorite British citizen.
Absolutely.
Gary Whitta works here. Lucy James lives with me. Rahul Kohli used to be friends with us, then he became a funhouse fuck. Cool. Now we got Cameron Cuff over there starring
on
Krypton.
He's the best. The best. Hands down.
Sorry, you can trade them. I'll trade them all. I'll trade them all for Joey Scribbs, but you have to throw in Lucy O'Brien because she's a Kiwi. I get her too. Oh,
I mean, that's a terrible trade for you. You know what I mean? But whatever you want to do, waste your trades when you're stealing British people. Anyways, Joe Scribble says, we knew it would come at some point this month, but Rockstar owner Take-Two Interactive has confirmed that the beta for Red Dead Online will arrive at the end of November. On an earnings call, Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick explained that it will launch in public beta towards the end of the month. Rockstar will have a lot more to say about it. Zelnick didn't go into more detail about exact timing, but at least we know it won't be a surprise release in the next few weeks.
Can you say it again? Can you say that? I love that name, Strauss Zelnick. Can you say
Strauss
it?
Zelnick. Oh, what a great Strauss name,
Zelnick.
Right?
Strauss Zelnick. Do you ever think like his parents just said both his names to him when he was growing up? Like, Strauss Zelnick, come here.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Wait, a name.
He's working in the wheat fields?
Yeah. Strauss Zelnick. No, I think Strauss Zelnick strikes me as somebody who grew up in a house with a lot of mahogany and leather-bound books.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought of him more as like a farmer, worker-class man out there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, barefoot out there with the muddy feet, and he's got like the straw hat, and he's got like the pitchfork that he's getting the hay and the wheat and stuff.
This sounds like the beginning of your Bodice Ripper novel, honestly.
What, my who ripper now?
Your Bodice Ripper now.
Why are you excited about this?
Yeah, of course I'm excited about this. I want to play this online game with these cow folks. These cow pokes. I think Red Dead Online will, in terms of play quality, surpass GTA 5.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think they've been saving their best ideas.
Wow.
Yeah, not at launch, but I think that a year or two from now, we're going to look at it and go, this is the superior product from a critical perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know if as many people will play it, but I think it'll be the better game of the two.
Damn.
I mean, what do you think they've been up to for the last, you know, we saw this amazing, incredible open world game. I teased you about this morning, but you were so very, very wrong about Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeah. It is spectacular and wonderful in every imaginable way. But the online of this, I think, is where probably, I think it'd be fair to say an even bulk or the bulk of the work is going to go or has gone. And I can't wait to see what they have in store for us.
Well, you won't have to wait long. It's coming in November, apparently. And also, you won't have to look far to find people to play it with. Number three on the Roper Report, Red Dead Redemption 2 has shipped 17 million copies. This is from Christopher Dring over at GamesIndustry.biz. Red Dead Redemption 2 has sold in 17 million units, Take-Two has announced. Rockstar's parent company revealed that the game has shipped more units into stores in 8 days than the original managed in 8 years. This figure is the number of units sold to retail stores as opposed to sold through to consumers. There's currently no update on the sell-through figures outside of the $725 million the game made in just 3 days, making it the second fastest selling entertainment product of all time behind Grand Theft Auto 5.
Also, don't forget the fact that that math includes Grand Theft Auto 5 getting a 2-day head start.
Sure.
So even there, that's
a
question.
Wait, I thought it was still counting the first 3 days of it, no?
It depends on how you rate it. Anyway, there's over 10 million copies likely sold, and GTA actually got a couple of extra days. I do think probably GTA may have outsold it period to period, but okay. I'm not good at math.
The game is certainly selling ahead of internal expectations. expectations as Take-Two has raised its financial estimates for the financial year on the back of it. It now expects to deliver between $2.55 billion and $2.65 billion in revenue, whereas previously had expected between $2.5 and $2.6 billion.
I believe on this show, I completely pulled the number, I think about a minimum of 50 million lifetime out of my butt, and I think I'm going to stick with that. Yeah. They're going to sell at least that many of this. Well, there will be
a lot of people laughed at you when you said that. Who's laughing now? Jared Petty.
I don't know.
Laugh.
What? I couldn't see.
Thank you, Kevin. I want a slow gif of that, all right? Just the thing in his hand.
I could do the laughing. Wallace Shaw from Princess Bride. The
That's pretty good.
That's good. That was real good. Man, you've seen Princess Bride once or twice.
I kind of sound like Wallace.
You do kind of sound like him, yeah.
I never thought about that.
I like how many, everybody thinks of him from Princess Bride. I think of him from The Cosby Show.
Oh, I remember that. So, yeah, he was the neighbor.
Yeah, right? he was great.
He was
great.
He was the neighbor, yeah. That show, it's kind of hard to watch now.
I know. No, you can't watch anymore. You can't.
It's not out there. Not anywhere.
They
never happened.
Here's a question for you, inside baseball stuff. When we were getting ready for Red Dead, Red Dead Radio, of course, your podcast about Red Dead Redemption.
Hey, thanks for bringing that up.
Had started really taking off.
Yeah.
Is it even crazier now?
It's doing really well.
Yeah?
Yeah. Doing really well.
What are you getting? What are YouTube's views looking like?
I don't know. I haven't looked this week. I'm recording an
episode
tonight.
You're such a piece of garbage.
Huh? No, we just transferred over. We just transferred over to the new servers for
podcasting,
podcasting and such. Just got that finished. I don't know.
Okay. Remember, check out Red Dead Radio.
I'm happy about it. Yeah, please do watch Red Dead. I mean, we're happy. We'd like you to come subscribe.
Number four on the Roper Report, we're going to stick with Christopher Dring from GamesIndustry.biz, who talks about the best video game employers in Canada. That's right. Weeks ago, when we were talking about Crunch and everything else, somebody had written in and said, why don't we ever talk about the people who do really well? And I said, that's a great point. So here's one from GamesIndustry.biz. A good one. Beenox, Behavior Interactive, Ludia, and Ubisoft are the winners of our inaugural Best Places to Work Awards in Canada. It was a tight and highly competitive contest with over 30 companies taking part. However, only four scored over the all-important 85% to claim one of our special places badges. Beenox is the Activision-owned studio that is best known for its support on the Call of Duty and Skylanders franchises. Behavior Interactive is a for-hire specialist that is credited on Fallout Shelter and Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor. It also has worked on numerous original properties, including Dead by Daylight, which it owns.
Oh, there's the Dead by Daylight guys. Okay.
Ludia is a smartphone developer that has worked on a number of major IP, including Jurassic World, How to Train Your Dragon, and Battlestar Galactica. And finally, Ubisoft is Canada's biggest games employer, where it develops some of its biggest IP, including Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, Splinter Cell, and Far Cry. To win a Best Places to Work Awards badge, employers had to submit a survey that accounted for 25% of their final score. Employees at each company were then surveyed, and with their responses making up 75% of the result. The awards were run in partnership with the Montreal International Games Summit. That's MIGS, and it's happening right now.
Man, go Canada. Well done, Canadians.
Yeah, it's surprising when you give a bunch of, hey, the government will pay you to make games.
Yes.
That you get a lot of good people making good games up there.
Combine that with the support that businesses get from affordable health care that's mandated by their federal government, and they
y'all
can afford
sound like
to...
a bunch of hippies.
Wow, man, I know, Canada seems pretty cool.
Almost as if somebody wants to try making a video game in Canada and they don't have to worry about subsidizing their health insurance.
Wow.
They can just go try to create it
smart.
On their salary.
Ah, man, wow. It's surprising that you're seeing a lot of Americans go up there to do just that.
Again,
it's almost like we're having a brain drain of talent.
It is indeed.
Huh,
as
weird.
If people are leaving the United States to go create video games other places because they
like
can do it there.
Hey, I'm just letting you know, Kev. That's how it's happening. That's the real shit right there.
I've certainly never considered relocating to Canada to make video games.
It sounds like you have.
I have absolutely considered relocating to Canada.
Oh, we should move the whole company up there. We should just take kind of
okay.
Yeah, okay. Kevin, back it up.
No, ew, gross.
Kevin, you'd make so much more money.
Oh,
you'd be so
God,
much.
God, but we'd be in Canada. What's the point?
Canada's great. What are you talking
Our
about?
Our money would go so much further.
Nah, that's not. Like, yeah, that's true. No, it would.
What would be the point?
Safety, security, better health care.
Oh, yeah. All these things sound like things that you guys want.
It's not a utopia.
Yeah, Kevin doesn't like that.
It's not a utopia, but it's a really great place to go make video games.
I don't like any of this.
The thing is, I always talk to Jen about it. It's like,
God bless America.
It's when America inevitably falls, when we just tumble, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's Canada's fucked too. Canada's fucked too. So it doesn't matter where you are. The whole world's fucked when we're fucked.
No,
when the jig's finally up here,
we're the center.
No matter where you are, it's done.
Yeah. How can anyone else survive without us?
It's true. Number five, Jared wrote, "Oops, boss fight books Twitter."
Yeah, this is
so. This is all from their tweets.
Yeah, this is all from their tweets.
I'm going to read it as Jared put on here. Bizarre story. A couple of different people bought our book, Super Mario Brothers 3, on Amazon last week. What they got was perfectly normal on the outside, and a poetry collection called Grabbing Pussy by Karen Finley on the inside. I have not read this ahead of time. And if you want a rare limited edition anti-Trump poetry collection with a Super Mario cover, maybe pick up a book from Amazon and see if you get lucky. One of the two customers started reading, and the poems were good, smiley emoticon. Our distributor is currently checking to see just how many of these rogue books exist. Could have just been two, could have been 100. I checked. This is like the most like down-to-earth Twitter I've ever read. Could be 100. I've checked the stock I've got on hand, and they're all normal. So if you want an actual Super Mario Brothers 3 copy, maybe order directly from us for now. I've talked to our rep at the printers, and he said that the books had the exact same page count, paper type, and specs, and they were right next to each other. They're right next to each other. So I guess they didn't notice when some Super Mario Brothers 3's covers were put on some poetry collections.
Yeah, I love
this. What an uplifting, what a sunny little story.
It's great. It's absolutely wonderful. Also, Boss Fight Books, great folks. Our friends of the show, Chris Kohler and Alexa Ray Correa.
Yeah, yeah.
Both authors of Boss Fight Books.
And Nick Sutner.
Oh, yeah, Nick Sutner as well. That's right.
He signed Shadow Colossus.
He wrote the Shadow Book.
Signed it for me and Jen.
Oh, he signed it for you?
Yeah, Jen's a big fan.
Sign mine. That's a good book. And then Chris's is Final Fantasy V. Alexa's is, of course, Kingdom Hearts. Yeah. And all three, great reads. As a matter of fact, those books are of an extraordinarily high quality, and you should read them.
Jared! Books are cool, but they suck compared to video games. And luckily, new video games come out every day. If I wanted to know what video games came out today to mom and grop shops to keep me from having to read anything because I ain't a dork, where would I go?
I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform. It's listed by the kind of daily show. Show
Fuck you, books nerd.
I'm so amused and furious at the same time.
Speaking of being furious. Kevin, can I get a one? Can you do that? I don't care if it's out of focus. I need to talk to people. Hey, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. How are you? I tell you every day when you're watching this show, you have one job. Let's go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us when we screw up. Yesterday, I read the list of games that came out, not yesterday, but actually a week before. And no one called me on it. Now, granted, I had press releases, so I mixed in some of the actual new dates, but I cobbled that together with the Kotaku list I always do. No one called me on the fact that I was reading a whole bunch of last week's things. No, it was totally a mistake. For some reason, their games this week thing didn't update the way it normally does, so I just clicked on the top one as usual, pulled in that, and that fucked
so
up. It was my first day back yesterday.
It wasn't a test for the audience or anything
like that. It
wasn't,
and if it was, y'all failed.
Okay.
So out yesterday... Here are the four games Kotaku listed. I didn't get to all of them. Daru, which we did talk about. The Art of Cooperation, Switch and PC. Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry, PC. Steel Rats, PC, Xbox One, PS4. That didn't get a shout out yesterday. And Agents vs. Villains on Xbox One. I'm unsure of that one.
Leisure Suit Larry said it's best when it's like not overt like that. Like that's too spot on. Leisure Suit Larry exists best in the realm of like PG-13. That's where it's funniest.
Okay.
And
out today... Astbreed Switch, Battlezone Gold Edition Switch, Mechanica Switch. Those sirens are on our end. I've noticed, Kevin, I can never say that. I just run it all together.
Yep.
Those sirens are on our end. It's just
maybe you should change like the sirens are happening here.
That's good. Sirens are happening here. Mechanica Switch, Rage in Peace Switch, Sky Force Anniversary Switch, Siberia 1 and 2 Switch, Doodle God Crime City Xbox One, Ride 3 Xbox One, Crash Lands Switch, Valiant Hearts The Great War Switch. If you have never fucking played Valiant Hearts, you are ordered to pick this up.
Oh,
Valiant Hearts is a fantastic game. You play it?
Yeah.
Varian Switch. League of Legends is updating the K/DA A Cali skin to include her popular neon look from the Pop Stars music video, which has been playing in my head all day, and I play it every morning because I love that. The YouTube app is now on Switch for free as well.
Cool Greg, rejoice. Something to do besides watch Hulu.
He loves that Hulu on his Switch, but now he's got YouTube as well.
Yeah, you know what? The other day, though, I was griping about Hulu on my Roku, and somebody's like, you know, you could be like Cool Greg and be watching on Switch. You wouldn't have these problems.
That's a good point.
Were right.
That was a good point. Yeah.
I mean, Cool Greg's ahead of the game.
Before we get to new dates, we're getting real long on the tooth here. I'm going to give you who sponsored this episode.
Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Brooklinen and Quip. Brooklinen, of course, is sheets. You know them. I talk about them all the time because I sleep on them all the time. That's right. If you see a photo of Portillo wrapped up in my sheets, they're Brooklinen sheets. Why do I use them? Because they're super soft, affordable, and they're great. What I loved about it is when I went to Brooklinen.com, it was easy to mix and match. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. Jen wasn't around to help me, so I had to do it all on the click. And when you click it, Kevin, you click the duvet cover, you click the colors, you click the sheet colors, and they, you see it all mix and match in real time. Ooh. So you know what it's going to look like when you put it on the bed.
What did you opt for?
So simple.
Navy sheets.
Okay.
White comforter with navy dots.
So you went for tasteful.
Tasteful, of
not opulent, not garish.
No,
but
no,
you could if you wanted to.
I could if you. I mean, I don't even know if they have garish stuff.
Garish
there in Brooklinen. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 5-star reviews. They have different colors and materials to choose from, and they'll all match your style. I love them. They are really comfortable. I do use them all the time, and it's to that point where we need to order more because we just use these and you strip them off, you wash them, you put them right back on. Great. There's no like secondary one.
Yeah. Oh, you got the second. What comes between you and your Brooklinen?
Nothing. Oh. Brooklinen.com is giving my listeners an exclusive offer. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. Then it's Quip. One of the most important things we all do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. I did not realize this till I heard Nick talk about his Quip, because he got the Quip for the office.
Yeah.
How that happens, I don't know, but he gets it.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how you're supposed to brush your teeth for 2 minutes solid every time.
Yeah.
I did not know that. And as soon as he said that, I started brushing longer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to brush longer, and you got to, if you're using the electric, you got to hold it in place and let it do its work.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. It was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean. Up to 90% of us don't brush for 2 minutes every day. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger, and it runs for 3 months on one charge, which is pretty awesome. Plus, brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. Quip starts at $25. You can go to getquip.com/games right now. You get your first refill pack free with your Quip electric toothbrush. That's a free refill pack at getquip.com/games. GETQUIP.com/games.
You can get off the ground $25 for an electric toothbrush. That's a good deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. For the charges, it doesn't have a charger, a bulky charger.
Yeah, that's
the
other.
I've seen them with the giant stands.
Yeah.
I don't want that crap.
I got the giant stand right now.
Yeah. Just throw it away.
I think I need to replace this.
It's time.
Because I was a convert to the electric toothbrush this year, but it sounds like I need to
really?
Use an Quip.
Yeah. This year.
I don't. Wow. I need to. I should. Kevin, send me the Get Quip thing so I remember to buy one.
All right.
New dates for you, everybody. Guess what? Pop the champagne, motherfuckers. Beat Saber is coming to PlayStation VR November 20th. Yes! We finally did it. We've crossed the finish line. Beat Saber is coming. I cannot wait. Such a game. Such a game.
Best of PSVR.
Best of PSVR. Then Jurassic World Evolution Secrets of Dr. Wu is coming on November 20th. JRPG Edge of Eternity has a new release date launching in Early Access on the 5th of December. When Ski Lifts Go Wrong is out of Steam Early Access, and it's going to be skidding onto the Nintendo Switch in early 2019.
Yeah, okay, that's my nightmare.
When ski lifts go wrong.
I can be on an ordinary ski lift and just start crying.
Really?
It has happened.
Is it heights? Is that what it gets you? Or just the whole mechanical?
So I don't like heights, but I can handle heights. It's rickety, unstable surfaces. It's the swinging. There's nothing worse than when you do the ski lift transfer from pole to pole, and it's like clink clink, and then just as you start to swing, they stop the ski lift, and you're like, and you're just hanging there.
You have a lot of ski lift stories.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, I don't mind. No,
I'm just, you saw the thing from the spinny wheel on when we did Extra Life. You know, Jared tells you a story in the kitchen. I never did get to do that.
Stardust Galaxy Warriors Stellar Climax is coming to the Nintendo eShop in late November. Escape Doodle Land will launch on November 30th for the Switch. Super Mario Party has a new Nintendo Switch bundle. This, of course, has the game and a pair of neon green / neon yellow Joy-Cons. The bundle arrives on the 16th of November for $100. And then starting November 13th, Discord users can log into the Game Awards server, discord.gg/thegameawards, and cast their ballots for their favorite games of 2018 across a number of categories. Deals of the day for you. This is from Kotaku. Though you'll still need an expensive-ass computer to run it, the Oculus Rift VR system is finally approaching affordability. With the headset and controller bundle now available for $349. That's the same price we're expecting to see on Black Friday, so just go ahead and beat the crowds now, says Kotaku.
That actually is a pretty good deal. That brings it much closer to PSVR, because when you take PSVR, combine it with the camera,
sure,
combine it with new controllers, you're really approaching that level there.
So. I wish I could care, but now that Beat Saber's here, there's nothing to worry about.
You got nothing to worry about.
We've got it, everybody. The last crown jewel from the other VR is coming, Kevin.
I'm so happy.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Time for reader mail. I'm looking for stuff, looking for good stuff. Where do you think I'll find the best questions? Because I'm looking for good stuff, and I'm looking for good stuff. Nothing looked that good to me.
Have you ever considered releasing an album? Like, you guys should.
Oh, yeah, me and Nick want to do that. Me and Nick want to do that for sure.
Yeah, you should do that.
Let's just jump in here to Daniel B. Daniel B. writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, we have had a tremendous year of top-tier narrative-driven games, with 2018 producing some of the best games in a long time. Given the production cycle of these games can be as long as 5 years, do you think we may be heading into a drought of those sorts of games? Australia misses Kind of Funny. Please come back soon. Daniel B.
We got a launch year coming, either 19 or 20 most likely. Launch years are not renowned for great storytelling in games, because people are still figuring the hardware out. That said, I do expect this launch cycle to maybe be a little better than past ones have been, because theoretically it's just going to be a more powerful PC this time, which is effectively what the PS4 and Xbox One are anyway.
Yeah, you hope that the games we're looking forward to, especially when people start going, well, is Death Stranding really a PlayStation 4 game?
Yeah.
Could Last of Us Part 2 be a cross-platform thing?
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. Yeah,
if it is that we're just getting prettier, then you don't have to worry about it as much as people trying to figure out what these systems are.
So I think that we may have less of that classic, like, throw up in your mouth period of, I'm justifying buying, you know, Rise, Son of Rome, because I want something pretty to play on my system, when in reality I'm buying a fairly mediocre game. Perhaps we'll have a better turnaround here, and these companies plan around these cycles.
It's also the thing that I think, keep in mind that industry's changed a lot. And even though, like, okay, so first parties, like, because that's what we're really talking about, is like exclusives, right? Like, what Insomniac will be on to next and where that'll all go.
Right.
You figure Microsoft's got all these studios they just picked up that are working on the next big thing and their new IPs and what that'll be. PlayStation, you know, has this line of the stable of first party developers that are steadily releasing stuff and moving on to their next projects.
Yeah.
And then I think it is that as we see, single player games aren't dead and people are getting inspired, you're more likely to find more games like Hellblade out there. You know, right? That you're going to go out and see other AA independent studios really come in and be like, oh no, we're gonna tell a cool narrative. We have something to say here too.
Yeah, that people figured out that these kinds of exclusives, in particular single player games, are great for selling hardware. They're great for selling systems and creating new ecosystems. And Microsoft has a vested interest in making that happen. Sony already has a proven strategy in that happening already. I think next gen could be even better. I think a lot of really good ones did land this year.
Yeah.
Getting a year like this is fairly
good. Well, last year was great too in terms of games, right?
A good couple of years for narrative-driven games. Really weird.
Nicholas Quevedo writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, PS4 and Xbox One turned 5 years old this month. What are your thoughts on their impact? How has your life changed in 5 years? What were you doing leading up to launch? What were your predictions right or wrong about the features the consoles introduced?
What a day for this question. This is the fourth anniversary of the wreck today. I always have trouble this day of the year. But that was 4 years. 5 years ago was me moving to San Francisco in early August to start writing a guide for GTA 5, which came in not long after that. And doing kind of what I'm doing with Red Dead now, but with that then.
Yeah.
And getting my foot in the door full time in this industry. And I will always associate the PS4, the Xbox One, and weirdly the Wii U with that time of my life where I went from being a freelancer, mostly working on PC stuff, and to becoming somebody who does this for a living. And for some reason, people tolerate. So it's very personal for me. And then today, I just feel weird anyway. I've been kind of odd today. I always am. So
yeah, you're always odd. That's why it's hard to tell.
It is, definitely. And I just realized I talked about something that probably wasn't relevant to the question. So
it's fine. You're allowed to. We love you. We're glad.
No,
you're here.
I know. I feel loved here. That's yeah. I at some point, poor little me's probably got to ease off a little. But it's been the most transformative 5 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I do equate the games with it. I make those little hot blip videos every now and then because I'm really not kidding about these games as life as games things. Everything changed. I went crazy. My wife was almost killed. My life changed forever. I entered this industry. I went and worked at a publisher. I came here and did this. And none of these things. Before that, I was fixing computers.
Yeah.
Nothing is the way it was 5 years ago. And I associate this generation with that. And as it draws to an end, I have drawn those parallels in my head.
Sure. Of course. I mean, we all these things we tie into our own life expectancy and like how it all goes and what we've seen and milestones and touchstones, right? And how it all happens.
I like to use the term life expectancy. That's something, you know, there's this wonderful line in Fight Club, you know, on a long enough timeline, the life expectancy for everyone drops to zero. And there is a degree of mortality in console generations that I appreciate. I like the idea that console generations end. They can mark steps. My New Year's is E3. That's when I look at my life and reflect.
Oh, nice.
Because E3 is when everything always changed every year, those summers.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
What about you?
It's crazy to think it's been 5 years with these consoles already. I like the question of were your predictions right or wrong about the features the consoles introduced? I think my predictions were correct, but I don't even know how much. When we got the PlayStation 4 and got the Xbox One, what I was so excited about with them was the camera and Twitch. Because I was like, this... I've always thought Twitch was cool. I wasn't Twitch streaming yet, I don't think. No, there's no way I was.
I don't remember you Twitch streaming before that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. And so this is the one that was like... I was like, and I know it sounds ridiculous now, but even then, Twitch wasn't this big. It wasn't like synonymous with games in the way of like everyone knew what that was and everybody got it and yada, yada, yada. So it was that idea of like, holy shit, this could really break this open and show this to a brand new world of people. Because it was just, you know, you're streaming, you're going, you got the camera up and you're ready. You know, you were doing it. And it was with few button presses, you were making it happen.
I love that you say that because I remember being irritated at that point. My attitude to this has shifted completely.
Yeah.
But it's like, why is there a button on my controller dedicated to not playing games?
Man, get off my lawn.
Yeah. I was just like, what, share? I'm playing a game.
It's my problem with PC gaming and why I use consoles. And I'm not, this is me being real Greg, not even the character of Greg.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it just worked where it was. Hit the share button and I was streaming on Twitch and it worked and it wasn't a hoop I had to jump through or something not reading and da da da. And eventually, you know, I think why I'm confused on it is when I did eventually really get into streaming and start streaming, I did get, you know, the Aver capture cards actually we use here are the same ones that the original ones, are the ones I was using in the spare bedroom on my own to stream every Monday or whatever it was with me. And that was, you know, the more real thing. But for sure, the PlayStation was the gateway drug to that of like, oh, this is cool and this is easy and this is fun and oh, I could make the experience better if I did this, that, and the other and change it around. That kind of, you know, pushes that. 5 years ago, you know, I was just transitioning into a full-time host. The PlayStation 4 launch was my final thing as leading the PlayStation team at IGN. Then I fully transitioned over to being a host, right?
Host, right.
Yeah, yeah. And so that would also be you figure that's the first year of me making YouTube videos then?
Maybe? I remember that was the year because you kind of came back from VidCon with stars in your eyes.
Yeah.
And I remember you in the office one day being just so excited because you'd broken 100,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I made fun of you. I remember that. And you mocked me. But
dump pretzels on you.
That was a different day.
That was the first
day. But it's funny to me. I think the most telling thing about console generations for me out of this was I talked about GTA 5. That was a last gen game then.
Right. Yeah.
Even though the consoles were launching, I was playing it because it's that period where you mentioned streaming. You were talking about hardware features. Neither one of us brought up games for that first year.
Oh, yeah, no.
That were available then. And that's a weird thing about
it. Well, I mean, you figure at launch they had DC Universe Online, so they were great. Okay, and it was everything carried over and it was up-res and I could finally read the computer screens and DC was great.
But it's about potential. It's a childhood. Consoles have a childhood. They have a period where you look at them and go, I can't wait to see what this becomes.
Yeah. And I mean, that was the most exciting thing for both PlayStation and Xbox at this generation was the idea that I think we all understood to an extent we weren't making the graphical leap. We weren't going PS2 to PS3. We weren't going PS1 to PS2. Yeah. We were going like, all right, cool. How do these things? And that, granted, it was a joke. Become the centerpiece of your life. You know, the one box you need. And like Xbox, you know, I used Kinect. When I got my Xbox One, I did plug the cable box into it. And it was Xbox on, Xbox do this, Xbox do that. And that was an interesting idea. And PlayStation was the same thing of, all right, cool. Like I was using it for Netflix or using this thing.
Watching Microsoft in 2013 hurl themselves into an inferno that they had set, that was one of the weirdest things about that launch, too. Sure. Just like,
how do you not have this spelled out? How do you not believe in your vision?
Yeah.
But then, we digress.
Boy, PS4 seized it. Yeah, we do digress. What? Digress? What?
What? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with questions, comments, concerns. No, that's not right. Kevin, what came? Are they Amazon stuff or are they not Amazon stuff?
I think it's Amazon stuff.
You're sure you're not? Because I'm expecting something around here.
Let me check. Sorry, give me 2 seconds.
You're fine. This is where you squad up. You're writing kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Cam needs help at PAX. You can hit him up. Yeah, you can hit Cam up at the Camdy Man on Twitter. That's at @THEKAMDYMAN on Twitter. Hey, friends, I just bought tickets to my first ever PAX East coming up this March. I'm going by myself and I'm highly stoked and low-key terrified as it's my first big gaming event I've been to and also the first time I'm traveling alone. Would absolutely love some kind of funny best friends to hang out with and experience the show and get a place to stay with. I'm at the Candyman on Twitter with a K. Candy or Cam D Man. I already spelled it out for you. Love all you do. Thanks for the incredible content over the years, Cam. If you're going to PAX East, hit up Cam. Be friends with them. Go to some panels. Go to our panel if we do one, which I assume we would, but who the hell knows?
Who can make the sunshine?
The Candyman can. Remember how scary? Remember the horror movies for Candyman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is like
Candyman. And then he showed up in Final Destination, but he wasn't the Candyman, but he kind of was deaf.
He was somebody else, but it was good. And then Bruce Willis was at the end of that one movie where that guy ate people.
Right. That was a good movie. Turned out. I watched that the other day, too.
Yeah. Do you know Bruce Willis was at the end?
Yeah, of course. So yeah,
that kind of takes away from me a long time.
100%. Yeah. But it's what really wanted motivated me to watch a movie. We digress. We have a rotating segment, a required reading. Jared Petty.
Yeah.
What'd you insert?
I put an article from Polygon by Matt Leone in here. It's about the PlayStation Classic Mini, and it's a really well written impressions piece about all the things it gets right and gets wrong.
Yeah.
We've talked some about this here. There's mini consoles here and mini consoles there, but Matt's piece is the best one I've read about this so far, and I really recommend you go look at it because it examines the way that our expectations are set for these things, good examples of how it's been done right, how marketing works around it. It's just a very thoughtful, good piece of feature writing. Okay. So that's a Polygon by Matt Leone, and it's an impressions piece on the PlayStation Classic Mini. It's on their front page right now.
Everybody, check it out. Required reading.
Also, Matt Leone, pretty darn awesome. I got my start in this industry stalking Matt Leone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah. Don't stalk people.
No,
definitely not. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask everybody watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. I'm not going to read jokes. I make jokes about Star Wars all the time. I'm not going to get those corrected. Neo Aoshi says, I believe it was Naoki Yoshida who came in to fix Final Fantasy 14, not Tabata. He's correcting you.
Yoshida? Was it Yoshida or was Tabata?
No, a whole bunch of people are popping in and say Yoshida,
so I'm just
Yoshida,
wrong.
Yoshida. You are wrong on that one.
Oh, great.
It's all working out.
Well, there we go. Sorry about that.
Boo, Jared!
The comment section is going to be so much fun today.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So I put Yoshida.
Oh man, they're all about that.
Yeah,
people. Are not
can
happy.
Can we just cut that part out of there wrong?
No.
All right. I got my Tabatas and my Yoshidas mixed up.
K Money says the top PS4 downloads for October out. I'll put that out there tomorrow. But interesting for the top PS4 downloads, Black Ops 4 is above Red Dead Redemption 2.
Whoa, that's crazy. No one else thinks that's crazy.
I do think it's crazy, but I'll wait for tomorrow to talk about it.
Man.
Well,
yeah, but I made mistakes emphatically and authoritatively. That's always a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Maybe a good day for me not to read YouTube
comments. Probably. God, it never gets all worked out. Ah!
Oh, here we go. Charles Jacobson says, missed release date. Warframe's latest expansion, Fortuna, launched on PC today. It's coming to consoles later this winter. Thank you. A lot of people, yeah, just doing this.
Yeah, is this Delta Bot?
No, now it's more people talking about the Red Dead versus Call of Duty thing.
Oh.
And then Zaire has a deal of the day. As Black Friday coming up, Best Buy is having a lot. There's Best Buy sales. And Zaire says, out today, DC Universe Online Atlantis expansion is out for PS4.
That'll be an interesting discussion tomorrow about that COD, but that'll be tomorrow.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe and get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. No matter where you get it, thank you for your support. Consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, kicking us a buck or two to keep the lights on and the mics working. I said likes on.
You know,
lights on. So fucking close.
You want the likes on? You can keep the likes on. You want the likes on? The subscribes on?
The shares on.
The shares on? The Patreons on?
Jared and I are doing the games cast this afternoon with one Fran Mirabella. So if you want to give us $1 on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can come watch it live. No bucks. You can get it tomorrow. patreon.com/kindoffunnygames as a video or an MP3 post show on and pre show on the video version. If you don't want to give us any money, Monday, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.